Not the kids.
Never.
Good evening. I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Board of Education for Washington Local Schools, November 19th, 2014. It is 5 o'clock p.m. Mr. Falk, please call the roll.
Mr. Kaiser.
Present.
Mrs. Carmi.
Present.
Mr. Ilstrup.
Present.
Mr. Hunter.
Present.
Mr. Langendorfer.
Present.
Also present, Mr. Hickey, Mrs. Moreland, and myself.
Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. At this point in time, I would like to open the floor to members of the community if they would like to step forward and offer comment to the Board of Education. We would ask when you step forward to the microphone that you give your name and address and limit your comments to 3 minutes, please. Don't all rush at once. There being none, let us move on and turn the meeting over to Mr. Falk for his reports and recommendations.
This is exhibit number two. I recommend the board approve the minutes of the regular meeting of October 15th and special meeting of October 28th as presented.
So move.
Motion by Mr. Langendorfer.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Carmine. Discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Ilstrup.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Langendorfer.
Yes.
Mr. Kaiser.
Yes.
Mrs. Carmine.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Next one, exhibit three, financial report investments. First report, cash balances for all funds decreased by $1.7 million. Revenue for the month was $4.2 million. For all funds was $6.1 million. For the expenditures by funds, $6 million in general funds, $7.8 million for all funds. Cash report reflects the month-to-date and year-to-date activity. Checks written. Summary of investment earnings, earned $5,144 for the month. Request motion for approval.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Hunter, second by Mr. Langendorfer. Discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Langendorfer.
Yes.
Mr. Kaiser.
Yes.
Mrs. Carmi.
Yes.
Mr. Ilstrup.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Move to exhibit four. Recommend a board approve payment of legal fees for September services as presented.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Kaiser.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Carmine. Discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Langendorfer.
Yes.
Mr. Kaiser.
Yes.
Mrs. Carmine.
Yes.
Mr. Ilstrup.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Move to exhibit five, purchases over $25,000. First one's Morton Salt. This is de-icing salt for our district for $62,500. Guardian Alarm, this is for monitoring of our security camera, monitoring and maintenance for $36,553.80. Also for ESC of Lake Erie West for auxiliary services personnel, estimated cost is $550,208.44. This is a pass-through for the state of Ohio, our Department of Education. Request approval for, motion for approval.
So moved.
Mr. Langendorfer made the motion.
Second.
Second by Mr. Kaiser. Discussion?
Question.
Langendorfer?
On C, Jeffrey. Explain to me that is for support services such as speech therapists, social workers, things like that?
It's mainly for the secretary. There's psychologists. There's some teachers they pay for. It's the personnel that they have that's paid via the non-public funds, auxiliary services.
So we have those people at Chrysler Crane and Regina Chaley?
We don't. The ESC does. A lot of districts, I know an area school district, they're their employees of their district, and then they pay them accordingly. Local districts, which us and Ottawa Hills and others, they contract with ESC. ESC hires them, and they're ESC employees.
So,
like, they're usually guidance. There's usually a psychologist. There's always a guidance secretary. There's some other personnel. I'm trying to remember. There's a list they provide to us.
So, I guess my question is, the reason why we give these schools the money because they're in our district, correct?
The state of Ohio provides the money to them.
Minister.
They get so much per pupil I believe I gave you an update, is around $800 per person flows they pay us. We then take a fee, or actually the county, we're allowed to take a, the county takes a 2% fee on personnel. We take a total of 4%. So if there's eight, say there's $800,000 they receive from the state, just use that for a round number, there's a $32,000 fee. The ESC takes, because of the personnel, they take like 20,000 of it. We receive about 12.
Okay.
It's an annual fee that's a pass-through. It's.
Thank you.
And they are in our district.
Yes. And there used to be, I believe, six or eight of them. We're down to three.
Thank you.
Is the date on Guardian Alarm wrong?
No, that is correct.
Well, we're just now approving something that we've already spent 11/12 of?
I just received it last month.
That makes no sense to me. We would be normally setting up Guardian Alarm for next year, but this is November, the middle of November, and we're approving something that we've already used 11/12 of?
Correct.
Is that common?
No.
I mean, that's a bad business practice, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So
I just received it, and we have talked to the department. It's a confirming purchase order. It's an area that we're trying to address. It was in January, and the purchase order was missed. And it came through. The bills were not coming to my office. They are now coming to my office. He made sure that's happening, and it won't happen again for that long period of time.
So might I suggest that if we're going to set up a contract with Guardian Alarm for 2015, that we see that maybe like next month?
Or at least in January. In the past, it was in January. But we have two contracts with Guardian Alarm. One's with cameras. And the other one is with the alarm system.
I guess you're missing my point. If we're going to approve a contract from January 1st, I really don't want to see it January 12th.
I don't think we're
no. I know what he's saying. He wants it in December.
Huh?
We're approving the purchase itself, not the contract.
No. This is a confirming purchase.
This is the contract.
This is 11 months old, and Mr. Hunter is expressing the same concern that I did. And it's 11 months old. It was missed, and normally what we have done, since we've done 25,000, it's like our third year or fourth year of doing over 25,000. We've normally, because in December it comes through because of timing, it may not make the December board agenda. We have it in January. We approve it for January and it goes forward. We did approve the alarm system, but we didn't approve the cameras.
And I appreciate that. I will not vote yes on a contract in January for January 1st start.
Okay.
Okay, I think this company owes it to us to give us a price before the contract to make sure we agree with it. That's what we're here for.
I'm totally 100% agreement with you.
All right.
I'm 100%
agreement
too. You're
saying in the future when there's a confirming purchase order.
Don't bring me a contract that's 11 months old, or don't give me a contract in January.
Don't bring a contract. I'll let the department know. I'm very comfortable with that. If it's a confirming purchase order, is the rest.
Yeah, if they want our business next year, let's look at the price ahead of time.
Okay, we need to have it prior to placement of the order.
Sure.
Unless, like the salt, we needed to do as an emergency. I approve that as authorized by board policy. We do that for diesel fuel, same thing. Fortunately, price is down. It's under $25,000, but the other expenses, I don't have a problem with that at all.
So explain to me like I'm a three-year-old on this. They came in, and they did the security stuff, and now they're billing us for – they didn't
– My understanding, I've had discussions regarding this, and what the bills are required to come to my office. They did not come to my office. They went to Douglas Road. That's where they went. And they sat there, and about a month ago, they started coming in. I said, hey, wait a second. Is the dates correct? And I was told yes. I said, then why are we doing this now, and why are we doing it at $9,000? Why don't, you know, is it for the whole year? Yes. So that's why it's been brought to you tonight.
So did they bid on it, though, before they did this?
This is considered a single source by them, and there's no bidding, no quotes for Guardian Alarm.
I kind of agree with David on that, too. I know that's hard to believe, but...
And the rest of the board, it is an issue that I'm trying to address. Mr. Hickey and I have discussed it, and Mrs. Marlum. I am trying to address the confirming purchase orders. There's always emergencies where, you know, things happen. You know, like today there's a fire alarm need to be repaired. Obviously, it's $800. It needs to be, you know, done. However, this is one, again,
I don't think the board has a problem with emergencies, Jeff, and we trust your judgment. This is not good judgment. This is not good business practice. This is really BS. This should not be coming to a board.
The board doesn't have to prove that. The company, again, board policy revised code requires a purchase order to be made prior to the payment.
So, Mr. President, do we need a motion to vote on these separately then?
Well, they're four separate. You mean four, the three separate items, or
yes,
the four separate bills?
Well, the three separate bills.
There's three there. And again,
if you want to move,
the company provided the service. The company has provided the service for many, many years.
Yeah, and I'm not questioning that part of it either. It's just a crappy business process that we're looking at. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to vote for this because they have offered the service. I will not vote for it again if we get this kind of business process.
And based on the board's direction, I will not bring you something that's no longer confirming. And I would let the departments know that if it's confirming purchase order, unless it's an emergency like the Morton Salt
was. We're fine with emergencies.
I would bring it to you, but in the future, if it's a confirming purchase order, it would not be brought to you.
These bills sat on Douglas Road for... There's four separate invoices dated with four separate dates, Jeff.
And that's what triggered my question. Where would they go? Because the address, if you notice, and I'm not sure what you have in your... The address is Lincolnshire. They reprinted the invoice. I go, we didn't get them.
Yes, right.
Where were they? And I've asked the same... I asked the questions. They were there, and there was a debate whether they were going to do the security camera monitoring or not because of the money. As you recall, the building repair account, we reduced that budget by 30-40%. There's limited funds. And that was the explanation I was given. But we ended up having the monitoring... the company did provide the service. The same displeasure that you have, I've expressed. It's a confirming purchase order. I'm trying to address the confirming purchase orders. We're having a hiccup right now of confirming purchase orders.
Did the administration here express their difficulty where it sat on the desk with whoever's desk it sat on for a year?
I did.
This is a poor business practice. It's somewhat embarrassing. And we've changed the way we do our business office, and we've eliminated positions, and we will make a commitment to not bring these to you. It has absolutely been addressed internally, and we will get it fixed. We know better, and we'll do better.
Thank you.
When you say there's a hiccup with these purchase orders, what other issues should we be anticipating?
They're all under the $25,000, so it won't come to the board. Board policy vice code requires a purchase order to be issued prior to the service being delivered. If a confirming purchase order arrives in my office, for the past 2 months we've been sending letters, maybe longer, 3 months, to reminding people of the rules, vendors, and so forth. So example being, use an example, if I would call somebody up, say I'm a coach or a teacher, and place an order, they should have a purchase order prior to that. If not, we normally held it for 60 days. We've held them for 90 days. We've done this for years, 120 days. That wasn't working. The vendor would still provide the service. We've now sent letters to them. We now have a second letter is going to go with a check reminding them not to be paid, that they may not get paid. I'm considering, for instance, if a purchase order is for $3,000, we may get $7,000 charged to that purchase order. I may only start paying the $3,000. I mean, a vendor, there's a purchase order is the contract. If it's a commitment to pay. So you issue a purchase order to say the Torrent Sound does this. If we tell them it's $3,000 to fix our mics and they bill us for $5,000 and don't ask for an increase in the purchase order, we're only legally obligated to pay the $3,000. I'm trying to address that. Now, it's $3,200. We can go ahead and do that. It's not a problem. It seems to be a hiccup because there's been a rash of them recently. It goes ebbs and flows. It happens in every district I've worked in. It's something about government. You need a purchase order.
That's not good.
I've addressed each time. As a treasurer, it's very simple for me to just say we're not paying it. It's our legal right to do that. If it's a confirming purchase order, I am able to, or not, a, if it's not, purchase order was not issued prior to the invoice date, we're not legally obligated to pay. However, that will cause disruptions in school buildings and so forth. I try to get people to file the rules. 95% or a large percentage, what percentage, I don't know. They do file the rules. There's always exceptions, and I look at the exceptions. But most districts, as you know, We normally had a clean audit. This is what trips them up. And I've noticed a problem for the last year or so. It's gotten worse, and I'm trying to address it. We have blanket purchase orders for certain amounts. If those go over a certain amount, I approve those. I've now asked if they're over the blanket purchase orders for $5,000 for monthly expenses, if it's going to be $10,000 or $12,000, we need to adjust that purchase order. And we're trying to do that. It's not a culture change. It's a systematic change, and we're addressing that. And they are working towards correction. It is most people in this room will attest when there's a confirmed purchase order, it is a problem for me. I do address it. And short of not paying the bill, which then upsets the vendors, that's an option that we have. What I started doing again, I held it for 60 days before paying. And then if the person would call, we would release the payment, then that would give me an opportunity to talk to that person about confirming purchase orders. Then the vendor does it again, it's 90 days. We've reached 120 days for certain vendors.
Anyone else? Other thoughts or questions? Do we have a motion to separate those, or are we comfortable going forward, Mr. Leander?
No, let's just vote on all of them together.
Okay, we have a motion on item number 5, purchases over $25,000. Motion was made by Mr. Langendorfer. Second was made by Mr. Kaiser. Any further discussion? There being none, call the roll. Mr. Folk?
Mr. Kaiser?
Yes.
Mrs. Carmi?
Yes.
Mr. Ilstrup?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Ilstrup? Mr. Langendorfer.
Yes.
Sorry.
We look so much alike.
No, yeah, he looks like a
like Chicago.
You look great.
Quite often.
Jim. Item number 6.
Did he say yes? Did he
affirm? I think he did say yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
The vote is 6-0.
Number 6, I recommend the board approve the request for advance of taxes collected as presented.
So move.
Motion by Mr. Langendorfer.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Carmine. Discussion?
Do we know a number we're requesting, Jeff?
No. What it is as people pay their taxes in January, sometimes in December, we get advances, about $15 million of the 16 that we get. One time I was asked what would happen if we didn't approve this, and obviously I didn't want to take that risk because I wanted the money up front. However, they called one time because they weren't going to advance because they didn't have the form. They did have the form. We just did it a few months earlier than they were anticipating. But that was a question that I was asked before, what would happen if we don't approve it? We do get our taxes, and we would get them in March as a final settlement, as opposed to $500,000 or $4 million starting in January.
So you're just suggesting it's better in our account rather than our...
Well, we start an interest. We don't anymore.
That's true.
The auditor used to get beat up regarding the timing of when he or she released the payments, but being, as you see, the little amount of interest we received, no one seems to beat up on her anymore regarding the advance amounts.
I can understand.
So we have a motion, a second for approval.
Correct. And that motion was by Mr. Langendorfer, second by Mrs. Carmine. Any discussion? There being none, call the roll. Mr. Falk?
Mrs. Carmine?
Yes.
Mr. Ilstrup?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Langendorfer?
Yes.
Mr. Kaiser?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Next item, recommend the board approve the 2014-15 student activity budgets as presented.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Kaiser.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Carmine. Discussion?
I had a question that tied into the Panther Paws race, right? Is that what they call it?
Panther Prowl.
And they wanted a separate account. Did that go into this activity account?
Hasn't been approved yet by the board.
Further in the...
Okay, it will go, if we vote on that, we then will go into this as a separate account?
We will establish a new fund the next year. What happens is the board approves a budget starting in June. We've always had a separate activity report. The board would like to look at every student activity, something they were interested in looking at. So we approve that separately. And then in December, they would provide me a budget. We approve it at that time.
So in a case where a group or something starts a new collection or club, aren't they kind of by law now have to be into this or no?
Well, no. The issue is the board adopts it at fund level.
Right.
That would be a district activity, a 300 fund. So we look at all the 300 funds, which is about $600,000-$700,000. They're lumped in with those.
Okay.
And then what the board approves, that's back to budgetary.
I just knew we weren't allowing clubs and things to have their own accounts without the auspice of the treasurer's office.
Or the superintendent agreeing to have that fund.
Because this particular one, I mean, they've got a pretty good chunk of change right now. And
it's currently within the principal's account, student activity account of Whitmer.
So shouldn't we develop some kind of policy or something, Jeff, that says when a club does initiate and sets up an account, that it immediately goes into the activities account?
They always call me, and I always tell them to run it through the principal's account. If they decide to have a fund, because a lot of times it's only a one-time account. And a lot of times when they approve these funds, like Panther Prowl, there was a running club a couple years ago. They only did it once, and we have a fund there. Now it's gone. It's dissolved. So normally you want to have a year or two of activity to see if it's really going to work. Being this was so large, my assumption is they do want to have a separate, or that's why they want a separate fund.
So if it's
normally
a temporary
it's only $100.
They can still keep maintain their own account if it's only a one-time thing?
Yeah, because once the board established it, we have a bunch of accounts that don't have any activity for many years.
At what point does it come back then into a general fund?
It never does. What normally does, it gets repurposed for another student activity. So like the running club, I'm trying to use an example. There's some money there. They may use, you know, buy some students' wellness, you know, some, you know, water bottles or something like that. It's usually something related to, say, career tech. It's one fund, say it's for machine trades, well, then that money's dissolved. They then use it for some students that would be in automotive or something like that. It gets repurposed.
I guess my question comes back to the fact I know we're voting on the Panther Prowl. Do we really need to do that, or can't we do something that says the treasurer has the authority by the board to set these accounts up?
Well, the policy was always, and the procedure's always been, the board adopts a new fund. The reason would be is before there's another student activity fund, normally what happens, once there's a new fund, like say the Panther Prowl or whatever, and then next time we negotiate, they may be asking for a supplemental to do that. And obviously the Panther Prowl is non-controversial, but there may be a controversial fund that they want to establish. Like they may be an activity that maybe Patrick or the board would not want us to participate in. And I can't think of an example, but
I think it's important to note that the dollars raised by the Panther Prowl are not in the hands of the organizers or individuals. It's in Whitmer High School. What they're requesting is, because it's such a large amount and they want to have an impact, that we create a fund, the board creates a fund, so that money is then directed toward a future project. I want to make it clear that the $10,000 is not, it's right now sitting in Whitmer High School student activity funds. The organizers want to say, whoa, don't spend that on student activities. We may have a future project for those dollars, and so we're asking the board to have a separate fund, but it's still going through our books.
Yes, it's still deposited, still subject to the same rules. They collected the money, had to be deposited within 24 hours. It's in our books. It's being recorded as revenue. The expenses are expenditures, and the board is required to approve all new funds.
As of tomorrow, if we don't vote on, let's just say we don't vote on this tonight, who could take that money out tomorrow?
Who could take it? Mrs. Martin.
That's all? So the people who put it in can't touch it?
She's the principal. She approves all, or Mr. Snook.
But the people who put that money in there cannot take it out.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, even if it's a student fund, just use an example of a student fund that we
let's
have.
Let's just use this example.
Okay.
Tomorrow, if this wasn't voted on, can the ladies who did the Panther Prowl go get their money back?
They can go ask Christy Martin.
For one thing, it's not their money. It's Washington local money. So if there's a club, I'm trying to think of a club, Skills USA, Paul Kruthup deposits money in there. He can't get that money out himself unless Mrs. Heben approves
okay,
that.
That's really what I wanted.
It comes over to my office. I have to approve
that. That was my question from the very beginning. Bottom line, that money is controlled by
yes,
somebody
yes.
in the district. Okay.
Yes, it's controlled. The bottom line is me. Because I look at, because if you go through this activities, I do approve them and I sign them. If there's something in there that maybe they shouldn't be doing, but somehow it gets missed through all the process. The stop point is when they make a request for payment, I review those. And again, it gets approved by Mr. Snook, Mrs. Martin, or Mrs. Heben at the high school level. At the junior highs and the elementaries, it's approved by the high school or by the principal. So it does get approval before it gets.
I'm not worried about the approval. I'm worried about the access of the dollars.
That's right.
You know, we've had issues before with a parent club or something where suddenly this money's missing. I want to know, how did people get that money? because a parent, club parent, or officer could sign and get that money out. Now that doesn't happen. Okay.
Within 24 hours, the Panther Prowl money was deposited in Whitmer's activity account. The organizers want to say, we want that to be separated out rather than in student activities.
And they have to do a goals and purpose statement, and then they do a budget, and we track that.
Like the others that we're approving right now.
Yes. And again, to get those out, and all those ones that we have, again, Mr. Snook at the high school, Mr. Snook, Mrs. Heben, or Mrs. Martin approves those before they come to my office, and then I review them as well. And also with the rec detail, Mrs. Moreland approves them as well. But when they come over here, we do look for them. Now look and see what they're buying. It has to be for students. I mean, that's one thing about the student activities. It has to be for student use.
And I think it's a wonderful thing that this board approves this many student activities, because when we talk about individual attention, infinite opportunity, and you look at that booklet you received, that is a lot of kids being serviced with a lot of interesting activities, and I appreciate that.
Again, we have a motion by Mr. Kaiser, a second by Mrs. Carmine. Any further discussion on that issue? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Ostrup?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Langendorfer?
Yes.
Mr. Kaiser?
Yes.
Mrs. Carmi?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Next item, abatement payment agreement. I recommend a board approve the abatement payment agreement with property owners Jeffrey and Kay Ziegler for the Ferrucia project, which includes building expansion and paving at 5225 Telegraph Road, as presented.
So move.
Second. Motion by Mr. Langendorfer, second by Mr. Hunter. Discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
No discussion.
Mr. Hunter. We can talk some more.
It's not required.
Well, I'm getting to think. Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Langendorfer.
Yes.
Mr. Kaiser.
Yes.
Mrs. Carmi.
Yes.
Mr. Ostrup.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Anything further, Mr. Brock?
This has been the longest treasurer's up.
It has, man.
I have not heard you talk. 1 year I've been on this board. I haven't heard you talk this much in total in 1 year.
It's always good to have dull, boring financial reports. Sometimes they're exciting, and then there's usually cameras involved.
If he talks too much, he has to catch his breath, too. So we try to.
You guys cut off that 5-year forecast last week, too. So that's usually when he gets his time.
Thank you, Mr. Folk. We're going to deviate slightly tonight. Prior to tonight's meeting, I was told that there was someone who did want to address the board as part of community comment, but they could not make it because of work until later. I've been notified that they have arrived, and again, I would suggest that they could step forward at this point in time. Please give your name and address and limit your comments to 3 minutes, please. Thank you, sir.
My name is Daniel Gard. I live 2218.
Thank you. Now you can hear me. My name is Daniel Garn. I live at 2218 Chalmette. I'm over in the Point Place area near Shoreland. My question is the overcrowding at Shoreland and some of the other schools. I'd like to know what the plan is. I understand from 10 years ago we're at 150 plus more students and the same certified staff.
Well, I'm sorry. This is your opportunity to comment to the board, not ask us questions. Oh. So if you'd like to state your situation, and then if the board chooses to discuss that, sir, we will certainly do so.
I had heard there was some talk of some possible putting some portables into the school or around the school to help alleviate some of the overcrowding issues. Some of my comments are, as far as costs go, I mean, where are they going to be placed? It's already an overcrowded campus as it is already. And then we're looking at maintenance. We're looking at the extra staff, if there's extra staff required for that. Let's see here. And that's pretty much it. You already covered the parking problem. You know, as you guys know, Shoreland, there's no parking to put a portable out there. Whether it's on the playground or in the parking area, is going to make the problem even worse. That's all I had. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Garner.
Thank you.
Anyone further? All right. Thank you again, Mr. Garner. We'll turn it over to Mr. Hickey for his report at this point in time.
I am self-imposing for all future superintendents report a 15-minute limit. So I'm putting myself on the clock. We always have more than 15 minutes worth of great things happening in the district, but for the efficiency of the board meetings, I'm putting that on myself. Obviously, the first thing that I want to talk about is our levy and a quick video from 13ABC, and then I'll continue the superintendent's report.
Edgerton Local School District got some good news today. Voters passed a levy that will bring in almost $4 million to the district. The money will allow the schools to continue offering all their current services. Superintendent Patrick Hickey says everyone breathed a sigh of relief after the levy passed.
We're going to get right back to our mission of loving and lifting up kids, fueling their passion, helping them to their destiny, and really, really taking care of the 7,000 kids who come to our door each day.
And recently, the district had to cut 7% of its staff. That means the levy was crucial.
I want to thank the community first and foremost. I have said before that this community is the most unique community that I've been ever even close to the orbit of, and their willingness to fight against the forces in Columbus in terms of educational funding and respond as they have every time. Our commitment to the people that pass this levy is that we will continue to keep your trust. We will continue to make sure every dollar is spent wisely. And to the people that voted against it, we will work just as hard to earn your trust. In sitting up here is three binders from the last three levies that represent 615 different initiatives that this district has done to help pass levies. 615 different things that we have help to try to educate our community, and the thousands of people who have contributed and worked with their talent and their treasure and the amount of time that they've spent to help us to pass levies. But I'm often asked, what's the secret in Washington Local to passing levies? And there is no secret. These are great campaigns, but the key is the thousands of days that happen in between the two levies and how we educate kids, how we love them, how we lift them up, how we spend the taxpayers' monies, how we take care of their facilities. Thousands of hours were spent on this campaign. I want to thank OPSI and TALS, the Board of Education, Eric and Patty for their leadership on the committee to work on this campaign. I want to thank Wendy Ferran, the parents of this district, the postcards that our staff sent out, Poll Watch, Yard Fest, robocalls, lit drops, the thousands of hands that were involved. I will say that I truly believe that if any one of those things, any one of the 600 activities did not occur, I'm not sure that we passed the levy. I think they all worked in combination, and we spoke with one heart, one voice, and one message. And I think the most important thing we do in this district is to be truthful and to educate the community and to not threaten the community. If the community chooses not to fund the schools on a levy, we'll make changes based on what the community is telling us. And what the community told us this time, I think, is to continue the great work that's going on in the district. And I could wax eloquent all night about how hard everyone worked on this campaign, but I just want to thank the community for the 7,000 kids who benefit from those dollars and a commitment to you to continue to spend those dollars wisely. And we are indebted to you today and all days for the work that you do. Moving on. And the superintendent's report, we have a video on a recent honor flight that took place and a real interesting part of that honor flight that occurred.
It is the end of an era tonight for a major effort to give local veterans an honor they deserve.
The final honor flight has returned to Toledo tonight. Tim Miller is live at Grand Air with more, plus a very special tribute, Tim.
Yeah, that's right, Emily, and this is what a big night tonight. This is one of the many signs the crowd held up, and one veteran who could not be here was honored for his sacrifice.
This was the first honor flight in April of 2008. Sure, there was a crowd, but nothing like what it grew into over the last 7 years.
Welcome home, brother.
Thank you.
When this final flight touched down in Swanton, crowds cheered to welcome them home. Connie Urbanski Brown was waiting and was given the U.S. flag from her husband's funeral back in August. Peter Brown Jr., seen here in his Marine photo, died 2 days after learning he was selected for this honor flight. Veterans took it with them to Washington to be at the memorials, even if he could not. Connie held it up in triumph and she entered the hangar.
When they brought it off the plane, it was indescribable. It was just so, I was so honored that they offered to take it today. It was just wonderful.
Jim Moran was one of the 117 Vietnam veterans who visited the wall on this final flight.
One of the proudest days of my life, other than the day I got out of Vietnam in 1970, and the day I got married, and the day my children were born.
Inside the hangar, the hero's welcome continued, signs showing gratitude for serving the nation. This was the last honor flight because every veteran on the waiting list has had their chance to go to the memorials. It was bittersweet.
Come probably April or March, that's when it's going to hit all of us. And we'll probably have all cry session or something by that time.
When you don't have another one to plan
right.
for.
Yep, it'll be feel really weird because you do it for all these years, you just, but you don't end up, but it's time. I mean, we're ready to spend a little bit of time with our families.
I'm sad to see that it's ending here in Toledo, but I think it's a wonderful organization.
So many patriotic moments over the years fit for our true heroes, those who kept us free.
Just an amazing crowd out here tonight, and if there are any veterans out there who did not get a chance to go on these honor flights, we're told they can contact the honor flight out of Ann Arbor, Michigan. Reporting live tonight in Swanson.
It's mission accomplished for the Northwest.
It was the end of honor flight is really melancholy for a lot of us in this district because through Jim Tishy and Peg Tishy and all of our staff who have gone on honor flight and all of our kids who sent the bulk, over the 7 years, the bulk of the letters to the veterans were by our kids. It's sad that it's ending because it taught us so many things as a district. See a picture there with Jim Tishy and Coach Bell and Julie Hogan, and we have so many others. I think one of the reasons we were named the first Purple Heart School District in the United States is because of, one of the reasons is because of our dedication to honor flight. And so we will miss that organization and what it taught us. And many, many times the veterans came back to our classrooms as human history lessons. And so it's with kind of a heavy heart that we say goodbye to Honor Flight and all the people that it served. And the people that it served absolutely benefited, but it benefited our kids so much. It benefited our staff so much. And we are indebted to Honor Flight for what it taught us more than what we provided to them. And we provided money. There was one time when Washington Local kids paid for an entire flight. And as I said, thousands of letters by our kids and music and our football team volunteers. And it's just been a wonderful, wonderful partnership. And we'll miss it greatly. And our kids have benefited. On with my superintendent's report. Big shout out to Sarah Shepard, who performed the lead role of Carol King in the Broadway production of Beautiful. We now have someone starring on Broadway. Sarah's been there for quite a while, but this was a crowning moment when she performed the lead role October 28th through 30th on Broadway, fueling the passion of our kids. Next person I want to mention is Randy Bachman. To show you the dedication of our staff, Randy lost his mom, and the funeral was scheduled the week he had two choir concerts. And instead of, you know, like probably most of us would have just canceled the second one or moved it to a different day, he wanted to make sure he moved it forward in the week so that he could do his job of leading our choirs, despite the fact that his mother had just died. And if you had the opportunity to see our choir concerts and the work that Randy puts in, I want to publicly thank him for being an exemplary role model for everything we try to teach and putting kids first and doing that and leading our beautiful kids with such a heavy heart. I wanted to publicly thank Randy for being a stellar role model for our kids and just an exemplary teacher as well. Some time ago, the board approved helping the band with their new transporter, and there's some pictures for you to see what your investment did. We also had our maintenance staff go in and make it easier for the kids to store their equipment. And I just think it just shows incredible teamwork by the board. And if you see some of those pictures, it just shows the dedication that this board has put toward the arts. And there are also Reddick Music, and we had many sponsors help us with that, as well as the Washington Local Board of Education. And there's a there's a thank you to you on that, thanking you for your support in getting that done. But as that goes down the highway, I've received more calls from people saying, I saw your band trailer going down the highway because the band from Pantherland and the Whitmer High School Marching Band is emblazoned on the side. So when we do something in this district, we do it well. And I wanted to share with you what your investment did and remind you that that was a shared project between the band boosters and the board. And that always is a great synergy when that happens. I want to show you a Facebook post I showed you before when Washington did their home visits, and a parent posted on Facebook that her daughter was recognized for great improvement in grades from last year, always having a positive attitude and just being her. This was an in-home recognition because they wanted it to be a family thing, and then showing the smile of the Washington student with the gifts that she received and how well the parent, the home visit was for that family was really beautiful, and I'm glad that they put that on Facebook. If you get over to the CTC, you'll see that, again, we have programs at the CTC that work to benefit each other, and they built a stage inside Angela Hetrick Goff's room, and she really wanted that stage to help her in getting her lessons across to our kids and letting kids know that teaching is a performing art. And so I want to thank the synergy that we have, that our construction kids built that stage to help another program at the CTC, the teaching professions. Seems long ago, but it really wasn't, the Candlelight Walk. I really thought it was the weather was threatening, and so I think it hurt our attendance a little bit. But Mr. Ilstrup leading the pledge, and Mr. Hunter interviewing the folks that came back to celebrate our 25 years, and the fireworks, I thought it all came off very well. And this is the 13 ABC report on our Candlelight Walk.
It's a tradition for Washington local schools, and tonight Whitmer High School hosted its 25th annual Candlelight Walk. There were games and fireworks, but also a strong message for all of the students. 13 ABC's Amy Montgomery live with the story, all new at 11. Amy?
Well, Lee, it's no secret that drug and alcohol abuse is a reality among teenagers, but tonight, Washington local students from elementary school to high school took a pledge to say no.
It's just a really big deal to keep this positive, drug-free community in Washington local.
They came from Greenwood, Jefferson, Whitmer, and everywhere in between to push one message.
Basically staying drug and alcohol-free.
Monday, students, family, and staff walked in the district's 25th annual Candlelight Walk. The crowd circled campus wearing glow sticks and carrying signs to raise awareness for a serious problem facing teens today.
It's a great thing that we get to come out here and just swear or pledge our allegiance to being drug-free for the rest of our lives.
But the reality is students are using drugs and alcohol. According to the National Institute of Drug Abuse, more than 10% of 8th graders admit to using alcohol, and another 7% say they've used marijuana. The older age groups show similar trends. Nearly 40% of high school seniors say they drink, and about 23% say they smoke marijuana.
We're motivated to say no, and it just helps having the people around us to help us with those pressures.
The goal is to spread this message early and often. Walk committee members say it's just as important for the elementary school kids as it is for the teenagers.
They see us as role models, and I mean, I'm not trying to be arrogant or anything, but I remember looking up to my older cousin.
In Toledo, Amy Montgomery, 13 ABC Action News.
Sean Fleming sent me an email. Girls basketball starting up. Our winter sports season are starting up. He shared with me their first quarter grades. 7 seniors on his team, overall GPA 3.948. 6 juniors, overall GPA 3.952. 10 sophomores, overall GPA 3.961. 23 freshmen, overall GPA 3.953. His entire program, 46 kids, average GPA over a 3.95. So a big congratulations to Sean Flemings for and his whole staff for cultivating the fact that academics is our most important thing we do here. Everything else is ancillary, and that's fantastic stuff, and a big congratulations to Sean. One of the most exciting things that happens in our district twice a year is the German Exchange Partnership Program and our Spanish Exchange Partnership, where kids from across the sea come over, spend time with us, and then our kids go to Germany. I want to share one. I received multiple emails from families that hosted, and I wanted to just share one. I wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart for pairing our family with Marcel. He was a perfect fit for us, and we grew to love him as a member of our family. He is truly an amazing young man and so respectful. We could not have asked for a better German son who turned out to become a true member of our family. I truly felt he felt the same way about us. When I got my final hug and kiss from him, I felt both of us not wanting to let go and both of us crying. He will be missed. He will always have a place in our hearts and in our home. Thank you for the joyous experience. I am sure Trey will have a wonderful experience in Germany with Marcel's family, because when they go to Germany, they stay with the same family that stayed in their home. They definitely have raised an exceptional young man that they should be very proud of. And then Mrs. Bawinski responded to that with a beautiful email of her own. And the last thing I'm going to share with you tonight in my 15 minutes is a video that the German students made for us, kind of thanking us with a theme that they knew that we loved, which was making their own happy video. So these are the German exchange students thanking you for allowing the exchange.
And the most important part about drama is learning how to be yourself. Write that down. Be yourself. That's right. All right. Now I want to go over the vocab from yesterday. First word is capstone. You spell the word C-A-P.
Showing you some of the places they visited while they were with us.
It did look like Toledo.
So thank you for making them happy, and when our kids go over there, they'll certainly have a great welcome. Mrs. Balwinski, Mr. Kazar, Mr. Scheiber have made the world a smaller place through their love of that program. So I want to thank them. There's no extra pay in that. They just massive amount of organization, and they do a great job, and our kids will have a great time in Germany this summer. That ends my superintendent's report.
Mr. Hickey, done sprechen Sie Deutsch?
I spoken very little Deutsch. I took Spanish in high school, and I can't do much better than what I just did there.
I have to tell you a story before I go on. As you know, Langenhofer is German, so I have an aunt. It's a priest. I mean, a nun, and she
that would be
she did a research. Yeah. She did a research on the family tree. Well, then we found out that the Langendorfers, and I want you to know this, Mr. Hunter, came from Transylvania in Germany. So if you just remember,
makes you a bloodsucker, right?
There you go. I just want you to remember that. I'm sorry. Go
ahead. My mother's an Adam Schick, so German runs deep with me as well.
Jim does suck the life out of the meeting, so I'm not sure if that's. Actually, with that, I'm going to ask you, Mr. Langendorfer, if you have any comments tonight.
First of all, I just want to thank the community for their support of the millage. That was a very close vote. I think my 38 years living in the district was the closest ever, 51 to 49. And I hope that the board, the administration, we look at it and try to balance the budget. I just have some questions. The baseball fields on Souter, Patrick, have you heard anything about those? Those people on Souter have called me a couple times. I mean, you don't have to answer me now, but can you find out when they're going to start those ever? Because those people are really complaining over there.
We just got an email. They're starting in the spring, correct, Jeff? Do you read the same one I read?
I didn't get that email.
Okay. I believe they're starting in the spring.
Okay.
They've done all of their field work and all of the architectural work. The last I heard, they're starting in the spring.
So I can tell those people then if they call me.
Thank you.
And the next thing, I have a question. I had a chance. I went east this fall, and I'm a Civil War buff, and visited Shiloh and the wilderness of that, and got to visit the war memorials in Washington again, which are very neat. I've never seen the World War II or the Korean. If you ever get a chance, see those in Washington. But my question is, do we have somewhere in this school district that has monuments or something of people who've died in conflicts in our wars, such as the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and things like that? Because I know we did the thing for the firemen. Do we have people who, you know, a memorial for those type of people, their names on plaques or things like that?
I don't know the specifics to if we have those names. I know that the high school does an honor wall, and all our elementaries do honor walls, or at least I know that Greenwood does. But I don't know if any place in the district that we have that. Wendy, do we?
I'm not sure. I was thinking that I remember some photograph of some rock in front of a tree, but I'm curious, did something with Vietnam in the West. I'm not sure that it's
Well, the reason why I asked that, because I think maybe we should do that, because when I was in high school, we played Whitmer in football. I know a couple guys I played against died in Vietnam, and, you know, they were, I just think we should do that. We're always doing things about veterans, which is great. Maybe we should honor the people who died for our country and went to this school, this high school. But anyways.
I think that's a good idea.
My last question is, Mr. Ilstrup, can you ask Mr. Turner from now on not to ask me against Christmas every time him and I have a discussion? I'd appreciate it.
You're against Christmas?
He always says I'm against Christmas when we vote.
I never say that. I say you hate Santa Claus.
Oh. All right. Thank you. That's it.
And since you're a Civil War buff, I believe that you would note that today is the 150th anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address.
Yes.
Hard to believe.
You would not believe. I went to where I was in the Ford Theater where he was shot, and I went across the street to where he died. And it was three stories. And from the third story down to the basement, there was a thing that all Lincoln books. There's been over 5,000 books written on Abraham Lincoln. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Got to be the most of any president.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Langendorfer. Appreciate it. Mr. Hunter?
I also just want to echo the opinion of Mr. Langendorfer and Mr. Hickey that, you know, this district is certainly a district in the hearts of our community. And I get so frustrated when I hear someone from a political area or that, you know, that doesn't understand that we really are the heart of the community, and I think in turn the community is our heart also. And I think this levy spoke very well to that. And I think it's important that we let people realize that we enjoy being the heart of the community. We enjoy being part and giving back to the community. And I think Mr. Langendorfer's idea of a memorial, be it a walkway maybe, or something like those bricks with the names of our veterans who have given their lives, or a wall, I think that's just a great idea. I don't know what kind of research that would be, but it might even be a really cool research project for one of our classes at Whitmer to look at the graduates, because it's pretty easy to find that out, and then to do a cross-reference to the War Department or whoever would have tracking of that. That'd be kind of a neat project. And I'd like to put that in the hands of the students themselves so they can appreciate that type of thing. That's a great idea. That's all, Mr. President.
I wrote it down, and I think it's a great idea, too, and we're going to get after it. The other thing is the 2000 levy passed by 136 votes, so we've had a couple close.
2000?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And that was after three failures. So this one was close,
okay.
But that one we had to wait a couple months to find out.
Thank you, Mr. Hunter. Mrs. Carmine.
I, too, would like to thank the community and for the levy, the passing of the levy. I've lived in the district 40 years, and fortunately, we've passed most of our levies. I know I hate to do that because I did have a discussion with one voter because he chose to whatever he was going to do, and I tried to explain to him the cap, but it is what it is. I want to also thank all the principals, all the staff, all the teachers, everyone, because it takes more than one or two people to certainly get this passed. It wasn't just a couple people. It was many, many people working many long hours. So I can't thank you enough. I was also lucky enough to be at the airport when they had the last honor flight. Connie Brown is a friend of mine. It was very, very inspirational. It is kind of disappointing that they're not going to have it at Toledo Airport anymore, but it is what it is. And it was such an honor to be there. And when they made the tunnel, when the veterans came off the plane, and they were truly, people on the sidelines, you know, were shaking their hands and thanking them, and the veterans were truly like amazed that people came out and were actually thanking them, because I know I grew up during the Vietnam era, and I know what happened when my brother-in-law came home and many of my friends that were in college already. It was not like that. It wasn't like World War II, which my father was in. It was the Vietnam War was not a wonderful time. So most of the veterans were from the Vietnam era, and they were just so thankful. It was amazing, and I love to see our kids out there handing out the mailbags. That was pretty cool because they like to read those. I was also able to attend the Greenwood Veterans Day program with Alice Lumley, and she was always such an inspiration, and the kids, all the songs they sang, and all the veterans that were there, and the kids came, and they shook the hands of the veterans, and they thanked them. Again, it's wonderful to see our young children doing this. We are, you know, our country still is at war everywhere, but to have our kids be involved in this was a wonderful thing to see. And then yesterday, I was able to attend Wernert's Thanksgiving feast that the children prepared. It was a wonderful event. I saw some of my former students. I was able to get a couple kids to volunteer and come and peel potatoes at my house because I asked them each kid what they did, and some of them said they were peeling potatoes and some said they mashed them. I said, okay, you're hired. You can come to my house and do that. That is it, I think, for tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Carmine. I actually had several people that I mentioned that they heard on the radio they were talking about the Thanksgiving
92.5,
yes. Yeah, that was very cool.
Because he was there, one of the DJs.
And Demetrius.
Demetrius, yeah. Yes.
And so got good air. He talked a long time about it, too. That was.
And
very,
I'm very sorry awesome. That I missed it. You're right, because he came in. Because they must have visited before the radio station, and then they invited him to come, and he came, and it was the kids. They know him, so they're like, oh,
celebrities,
I want to sit
right?
With him. It was. He was very. It was wonderful.
Cool. Very good. Thank you, Patty. Appreciate mm-hmm. that, Mr. Kaiser.
I'd like to thank the community for the levy passage. I'm going to echo everyone else's sentiments there. I want to thank Talls, OPSI, the administrators, Wendy Ferran, Patrick Hickey, Patricia Carmine, for all the hard work that went into it. I work midnights, as some of you know, and it would be late, and I would get an email from Wendy Ferran saying, this is our latest literature we're sending out. And that shows the dedication time a lot of people put into it, doing lit drops. I know OPSI had their flyers they were passing out when they were going door-to-door. The commitment to this district by all those people and the love we received back from our community is what made that happen. And I can tell you it was a nervous night at work, election night, after spending a little bit of time with the polls doing two things, clicking refresh on the results and watching the pictures come across Twitter when I had time to check it, of people standing in the rain, standing in the snow with umbrellas and signs at the polls until they closed. So I want to thank everybody for all the effort that went into that. And I was lucky to go to Greenwood's Veterans Day program, as well as McGregor's, before we went to the Capitol Conference, and both schools did a fantastic job honoring the veterans. I myself have been to an honor flight, and I can say I didn't make the last one, but when I did go, it was like the grandest reception you could see. They were so thankful to be welcomed back from their trip that way. I was proud to be there. It was one of the proudest moments of my life, and I'm sad to see it come to an end. And Mr. Langendorf, I think you have a fantastic idea tonight to honor our fallen that have gone through the district, because I think we can't do enough to thank them for that sacrifice. So that's all I have, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Kaiser. As president, always the last to make comments, and everybody's had some great things to say. I do want to thank Patty and Eric personally. I did ask them to chair the levy committee, and I know they worked very hard, along with hundreds of other people in the district, OPSI and Talls, and other members of our staff who are all unnamed, but I know that all of you were out there working hard, making calls, doing the lit drops and everything, and I want to let you know that the board truly appreciates everything that you did to make this levy happen. And as Mr. Hickey said earlier tonight, you know, there are a large number of people in our community who did vote no, but we are nonetheless committed to making sure that they are aware that we are spending their money wisely. They work hard for their money, just like you folks do in the audience tonight. And we want them to know that we're going to make this the best darn school district in Northwest Ohio and the state of Ohio. And I know, looking at all the faces out there, that all of you are working hard in that regard. And please pass the board's thanks on to your staff members and your colleagues, and let them know that we very much appreciate them. Again, we're so excited about what's happening. And certainly the books here demonstrate how much work has been done to make this happen. It doesn't happen by accident, but rather by the hard work that goes into running the school district on a day-to-day basis and then going out and educating the community about that. Again, unfortunately, every year the board seems to be at the Capitol Conference around Veterans Day, and I did not get an opportunity to attend any of the events before we left. But I had hoped to get to Greenwood and Jackman, because they actually were before the week of Veterans Day. But it is just phenomenal, the events that this district has put on in the past and continues to host for those who have served their country, some who have made the ultimate sacrifice. And Jim, again, I couldn't say or affirm or acknowledge any more that I think that's a great idea that we do something as a district to recognize those folks who have come through our doors as students and staff who may have served or have laid down their lives. I think that's a great idea, and hopefully we can make a real nice showing on that. Just in terms of the Capitol Conference, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the Student Achievement Fair. That is my absolute favorite part of the fair, of the conference. The fair is on Tuesday, and it's a number of students from schools throughout the state of Ohio. There's about 200 who have individual booths, and they talk about the exciting projects and activities and curriculum that is happening in their district. And I take 3 hours and I walk through and talk to as many of them as I can, and it is wonderful to see that even though we're doing great things here, there's also a number of other districts in our state that are doing wonderful things as well. And talking to fourth, fifth, sixth graders who are so articulate, and they look me in the eye and they shake my hand and they can talk just very confidently. I know a lot of our kids are the same way, but I just love that part of the Capitol Conference. And to me,
That is truly the best part of it, is seeing, you know, the results of all the hard work that folks do. So that being said, yes, Mr.
Can I add one thing? Sure. I just want to throw a shout out to one of our two council representatives. I think Lindsay Webb has really gained her way back into my heart as far as her representing our district. She did some voiceovers for us. She was out there talking to our community and representing herself on city council and our community. So anybody here who ever talks to Lindsay Webb, tell her that she's back in my heart. I believe in her, and that's what I expect from council representation. And of our two council people, Lindsay Webb went out of her way to support this community, and I think I'd like her to get a shout-out from this board.
All right. Well, thank you.
Mr. Hunter, I will pass those along to her. I talk to her fairly frequently now, and I've already thanked her. In fact, I was so thrilled when she offered to do the robocall for us. I thought that was huge, coming from a city council member.
When you talk about a margin of 300, that type of position can make that difference, and it can break the difference.
Absolutely.
Things are not forgotten.
Anyone else? Ms. Moreland, anything to add tonight?
First and foremost, again, a big shout out and a huge heartfelt thank you to the Washington local community for, kind of giving us that thumbs up for supporting our schools. I think Patrick's vision every time we have a levy is, you know, to do everything we've done in the past and then add to that. And we continue to add more and more things that he comes up with, different visions and different ideas. And then all these people are able to carry it out, and so many just step up to the plate. And as everybody has mentioned, work so hard, and we couldn't do it with all of the help from the whole group of folks in the Washington local community. So thank you. We added commercials this year and some ad campaigns. And thank you, Wendy, for, seeing some of those through the billboards. But it's all in showing what our kids are accomplishing, and they're accomplishing great things. And so much of that is from that esprit de corps and what's happening in the community and in our schools. And so we just really, really appreciate all of that support. And I also wanted to mention Wernert. Wernert had a dinner, a Thanksgiving dinner, that they invited. It was the special education classrooms that made the Thanksgiving meal and invited in all of their families. And so the gymnasium was pretty packed out with families. And one of the coolest things, not just the meal, but the teachers had put together a Thanksgiving story, and the students performed the story and had been videotaped. And so at the conclusion of the meal, the videotape played, showing the children telling the story, complete with all kinds of sound effects and props and so forth. And the looks and the excitement and the happiness on those kids' faces, seeing themselves up on the video, and the families taking pictures of their kids in the story, they were so happy and so excited, and it was just like it just capped off the whole luncheon, and was just really a neat thing, and it just really lifted up students and their families in sometimes situations where they're not the ones that are highlighted and lifted up. So it was a really wonderful event, and Lisa, thank you for making sure that happened again this year. It's a great tradition at Wernert. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. Falk, anything further? Lest I forget later on behalf of the entire Board of Education, we wish you a happy Thanksgiving and hope that you have lots to be thankful for this year. Turn the meeting back over to Mr. Hickey.
Last month, the board was provided with proposed dates for 2015. I have not heard any changes, and so hopefully this is the list that we will bring for the organizational meeting. If there are any conflicts, please let me know as soon as you can so that meeting can be swift and easy and flow freely. So I'm reminding the board to check those proposed dates. Make sure that if there's any conflicts, let us know so we can make alternate arrangements. Exhibit 9, I'd like to recommend that the board record as official the names of additional Whitmer graduates, class of 2014. And if I may ask the board to allow me to read their names, these kids aren't walking across the stage, but they are our graduates, and we're very proud of them. Omar Carlos Gill, Zachary Allen Gorsuch, Abigail Elizabeth Johnson, Karen Victoria Miller, Quentin Michael Plum, April Lee Robertson, Marciella Adiela Ruiz, and Bethany Rose Sprague.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Langendorfer.
Second.
Second by Mr. Kaiser. Discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Langendorfer.
Yes.
Mr. Kaiser.
Yes.
Mrs. Carmi.
Yes.
Mr. Ostrom.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Exhibit 10, the orthodontics office of Dr. Gene Kay and Dr. Brent Paulus have a system where kids can put their name into a bowl, and if that name is drawn out, then that student can get $100 donated to a teacher. Cade Brown of Whitmer put his name in, and Kenneth Winters is going to get a $100 gift card to purchase school supplies for his classroom. So we want to thank that orthodontics office for being part of the solution, and like to recommend that the board accept their gift as presented.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Kaiser.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Carmine. Discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Kaiser.
Yes.
Mrs. Carmine.
Yes.
Mr. Ostrup.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Langendorfer.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Exhibit 11 is always one of my favorite exhibits because it truly is what we're all about here in this district and reaching out to the community to help us. I want to read to you what exactly a Career Tech Advisory Committee member is about. And Workforce Development Advisory Committees reflecting career fields and authorized by local boards of education shall engage business, industry, and post-secondary representatives and utilize, not just have them there, utilize input from professional associations, labor, government, and the community. Advisory committees shall identify new and emerging careers, advise current programs on curriculum, advise them on assessment, work-based learning, facilities and equipment, and engage educators to improve and expand programs. You'll see that at our CTC, there are 135 people that work, and some of them work in our district, but most of them work outside of our district, who give their time to our 13 career programs in automotive technology, computer networking technology, construction technology, cosmetology, criminal justice, culinary arts, digital graphic design, engineering, family and consumer science, health information management, job training, marketing, medical technology, teaching professions, and welding. These are programs that truly set us apart. Sure, there's a Penta where schools send their kids away from their home school, but here in Washington Local, we don't send our kids anywhere, and we provide them with careers that they can, one, they get college credit, two, they're set up for a career. And every year at graduation, we ask those who go through the CTC programs to stand up, and it's always well over half of our students are involved in a CTC program. It's a shining star in this district. But I want to thank those 135 people, including Mr. Hunter and Mr. Ilstrup, who give of their time, and many of our other staff that give of their time to serve on tech advisory committees. And it is just a beautiful synergy when our community helps us with our CTC programs. And I want to love to thank those 135 individually, but also if you go through that list, to really give back to them and support them the way they support us. And there's businesses and industries all over this district that help us, and they're listed here in the attachment that the board has. So I'd like to recommend that the board approve the Whitmer Career and Technology Center Advisory Committees for 2014-15 as presented.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Langendorfer.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Carmine. Discussion?
I want to kind of mirror the comments Mr. Hickey made. As you look through the list of people here, it's really a majority of these people are members of the community. I've been on this community, on this committee, longer than I've been on the school board, believe it or not. I was involved with this when I was with Churchill's many, many years ago. So it's something I have my heart in, and it's just amazing to look at the names and the quality of the people here. You're not talking about people who are just by the way. They're people who own businesses and run businesses and are in the government, and it's a really impressive group of people, and I think that's what makes Washington Local a little special, is because they have people like this involved in their education.
I second that. Any others? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mrs. Carmine.
Yes.
Mr. Ostrup.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Langendorfer.
Yes.
Mr. Kaiser.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Exhibit 12, I'd like to recommend that the board approve additional parental contracts in lieu of school bus transportation as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Langendorfer. Second by Mr. Kaiser. Discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Ostrup.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Langendorfer.
Yes.
Mr. Kaiser.
Yes.
Mrs. Carmine.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Exhibit 13, every year the board is asked to approve Whitmer activity funds. This supports the National Forensic League, the general activities at Whitmer High School, Business Professionals of America, Skills USA, Vocal Music, and DECA. I'd like to recommend that the board adopt the activity accounts resolution for 2014-15 to transfer funds as presented.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Hunter.
Second.
Second by Mr. Langendorfer. Discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Langendorfer.
Yes.
Kaiser?
Yes.
Mrs. Carmi?
Yes.
Bilstrup?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Exhibit 14, we discussed earlier about Panther Prowl. In their first year, Krista Bawinski, Melissa Hieronymus, and Katie Peters organized this wonderful community event. They raised almost as much as we make in the golf outing. So they did it a fantastic job, and not only the money, but the esprit de corps of wellness and our folks walking and running, and we had dogs in there and people and grandparents and young and old. And so it's going to come back next year, and hopefully it becomes one of our new traditions in the district. But I would like to recommend the board approve the Panther Prowl Activity Fund as presented.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Kaiser.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Carmine. Discussion?
Okay. Moreland said esprit de corps. Now Hickey says esprit de corps. What does that mean?
Esprit de corps is like in the Marine Corps, when everyone is working together, it's a Latin term, the spirit of everybody, and we use it around here a lot because we see it a lot. So we have an esprit de corps, and Mrs. Moreland probably took it from me because I say it a lot, and it's very difficult to spell because it's E-S-E-S-P-R-I-T. Oh, it's French. It's not Latin. Thank you, Wendy. She was a valedictorian. I was not, or close to it. So it's the spirit of the corps, and it's what it is.
You question Santa Claus, too?
I love Santa Claus.
I have recommended the board approve the Panther Prowl Activity
Fund. Talking about spirits? Is that why you're... So we have a motion by Mr. Kaiser.
So moved.
No, we have motions on the table. Let me finish, Jim. Mm. Sir. We have a motion by Mr. Kaiser, a second by Mrs. Carmine. Any further discussion?
You know, he's not the first person at this table to forget that I did something or needed to hear something. Remember that, Mr. President.
I apologize, Mr. Kaiser. Yeah. Call the roll, please.
Mr. Langendorfer.
Yes.
Mr. Kaiser.
Yes.
Mrs. Carmine.
Yes.
Mr. Bilstrup.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Exhibit 15, I'd like to recommend the board enter into executive session to number 2, consider the employment of a public employee or official, and number 8, consider the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or student.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Hunter, second by Mr. Langendorfer. Discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Kaiser.
Yes.
Mrs. Carmine.
Yes.
Mr. Bilstrup.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Langendorfer.
Yes.
Entering executive session at 6:20 p.m.
Let the minutes reflect that at 7:18 p.m. the Board of Education did return from executive session, having discussed items number 2 and 8, consideration of employment of a public employer official, and consideration of an investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or student. All 5 board members did return from that executive session. Mr. Hickey?
I'm right with you. First of all, we have a number of retirements on this recommendation, and I want to put onto the record the great work that these folks have done. Kathy Dimitrov, 25 years, Whitmer French. Brenda Facey, phenomenal teacher, 21 years, 5th grade at Monac. Christina Houston, reading at Monac, 21 years. Deborah Jones, 3rd grade at Monac, 26 years. Jean Cornoa, working in our libraries for 23 years. Kathy Offenberg, 34 years teaching with us. Gail Sharp, math at Jefferson, 35 years. And then from our classified folks, Elaine French, here at Central Office, doing fantastic job for 24 years. And Frances Kemsky, nutrition service worker at Greenwood, 20 years. That represents 229 years of service to this district, and it's tough replacing that kind of institutional knowledge, and we wish them all well, and I reach out to all of them on behalf of the board, thanking them, and we'll see them at the retirement dinner next year, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention them publicly and the great job they've done for us. I'm recommending the board approve via consent motion the personnel items in 1 of 3, excluding item Q. Item Q is being pulled from my recommendation. So I'd like to recommend 1 of 3, the board approved via consent motion personnel items as presented, except letter Q.
So move.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Langender for second by Mr. Kaiser. Discussion? There being none, call the roll. Mr. Falk.
Mrs. Garming.
Yes.
Excuse me. Mr. Ilstrup.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Langender.
Yes.
Mr. Kaiser.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
My second recommendation, I'd like to recommend the board approve the personnel item as presented in 1A, which is an OGT proctor.
So move.
Motion by Mr. Langenderfer.
Second.
So second by Mrs. Carmine. Discussion? There being none, call the roll. Mr. Falk.
Mr. Ilstrup.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
I abstain.
Mr. Langenderfer.
Yes.
Mr. Kaiser.
Yes.
Mrs. Carmine?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0 with one abstention.
Recommendation 3 of 3, I'd like to recommend that the board approve personnel items with a change of contract.
Motion, please.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mrs. Carmine, second by Mr. Hunter. Discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Langendorfer?
Yes.
Mr. Kaiser?
Abstain.
Mrs. Carmine?
Yes.
Mr. Ilstrup?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0 with one abstention.
May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Kaiser, second by Mr. Langenderfer. Call the roll, please.
Comment? There's debate or discussion?
Is there a discussion?
Yeah.
Okay.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Same to you.
Should that be under debate or discussion?
Just a comment I want to make before we adjourn.
Thank you.
And to all of you as well. We have much to be thankful for. Call the roll, please.
Mr. Langenderfer?
I abstain.
To Thanksgiving or to the adjournment?
Well, I'll miss David. I don't want
Santa Claus. He has the problem.
You guys might get together for Thanksgiving. Cook a turkey out.
Sorry, yes.
Enjoy each other's time together.
Mr. Hillstrup?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
There's a lot of things that should be stuffed. Yes.
Motion passes 4-0. Let the record show that all inquiries made is on file in the Office of the Treasurer. Meeting stands adjourned at 7:22
Yeah.
Yeah.